Hi, I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church. What you are about to hear is Abounding Grace Radio. This is a radio program committed to making known the riches of God's grace in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If what you hear resonates with you and you would love to learn more about the person and the work of Christ and more about worship, join us this Sunday at the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Our commitment is to teach and preach expositionally through the Scriptures without compromise, that all who hear would come to know the saving power of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Worship service times are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Now here is our program, Abounding Grace.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we are immensely grateful today to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, and we're very excited to have this opportunity to come into the San Diego area on K-Praise and minister the Word of God and teach the Word of God, working through Bible passages. That has been something on Abounding Grace we want to reorient people to today. There has been the approach of teaching the Bible that has become very topical, and why topics can help us. That sort of teaching does not ultimately do as much service to us as expositionally teaching through God's Word. There's a power going through the books of the Bible that God has put in place to bless the hearts and the lives of those who hear, and that they would see the big picture of redemption as we are taught to see the person and the work of Jesus Christ from all of Scripture. So that is our goal here at Abounding Grace Radio, and we want you to explore us and learn more about who we are and what we believe. We've put together a website for you. That is www.agradio.org. We have podcasts there for you. We have it all linked up with iTunes and Google Play, so you could subscribe. And also, we have maps, and we will have some new maps with churches in your area coming soon. And also, if you so wish, we would be grateful, a place for online donation. So do please check us out at agradio.org. Well, yesterday, you know, we started our study in Psalm chapter 2. We're going to complete that today. And Psalm chapter 2 is a very powerful psalm, giving us perspective about the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes as we go through Scripture, we learn that the systems that men have imposed upon us don't always fit nicely with what the Scripture is saying. In other words, here we have a glorious picture about the reign of Christ and something that happened at His ascension. Are we looking for an earthly reign or a heavenly reign? Psalm 2 presents to us, in fulfillment, looking ahead, the glorious picture, the glorious truth of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. Remember, when Jesus left this earth, the last thing He said before He went up, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. I'm reigning. I have this power. I have this authority." And He went up, and Ephesians tells us He was seated far above all principalities and powers and rulers over the kingdoms of this world in the heavenly Jerusalem, of which the earthly Jerusalem and temple was all a shadowy sketch or type of what is in heaven. Jesus Christ is reigning. Jesus Christ is seated. The nations, the gospel's going out to the ends of the earth. It started in the Old Testament in a small nation, a little corner of the earth in Palestine. And dear listener, now look at what's happened. Look at this reign. The gospel has broken out to the ends of the earth. Today it's in San Diego, and it's breaking into China, and it's breaking into the dark nations of the world, to those nations who are in the darkness. The light has come. And so here we see Psalm 2 showing us this in fulfillment. But what we learn from Psalm 2 is that what is happening on the earth in struggle, we sometimes don't fully understand and have a hard time making sense of the Christian life that tells the story of victory, but all we seem to be experiencing in this world is conflict. I mean, come on, can we really say that Jesus is reigning? Is history really moving to an end that has to do with Jesus Christ? Who on the world scene is talking about Jesus? He's not even on the radar for people. And we say everyone's going to bow to him? Are they coming to him? I don't see that. Well, Psalm 2 is saying to us, in all of the turbulence that we're experiencing in this world, in the kingdoms of this world, it does have to do with Jesus. They have taken their stand against the Lord and against his anointed. So remember, Psalm 2 is a picture of all of history from the viewpoint of heaven. It's saying to us, Jesus is the center of history, that everything is about him. Everyone will bow. They are doing that today, and on that last day they will. So the psalm is encouraging the believer not to lose heart, that you would know in all of the uncertainty, in all of the turmoil happening in this world, the Lord is indeed sovereign over all. Jesus is going to win this great battle. Now, yesterday we picked up with Psalm 2 and we looked at the implications of this. Let me read a little bit of this again to you in Psalm chapter 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Why do the nations rage? The psalm asks. The psalmist is in shock. He's looking at all of these little human beings who are nothing but the nations, a drop in the bucket before God. And all these people, they live and they move and they have their being in the Lord. And what is the psalmist shocked at? He is shocked because the world is raging. There is a noisy tumult, a noisy, restless assembly against the Lord and against his anointed. And the scriptures tell us here that they are trying to break away free from the Lord. They don't want to worship or bow down to the Lord. Now, yesterday we explained this. This is human nature's raging revolt against God. Have you ever thought about what's happening all around us? Yesterday we looked at the sheer escalation of wickedness. That when societies are running a certain course, there's a growth of sin, a growth of rebellion. And what we see behind the scenes from the heavenly perspective is what the Bible calls the mystery of lawlessness, the spirit of the Antichrist. Jesus said, I testify that the world's works are evil. He's talking about the world system, the principle of darkness that makes the whole world lie under the sway of the wicked one. And they're casting off morality. They're casting off restraint. They're breaking the law of nature written on their hearts. And the kings and the kingdoms of this world become so debased that they end up spiraling out of control in the escalation of evil. Now, we said yesterday, you can say about anything you want today. You can believe about anything you want today. Except the very exclusive claim that Jesus Christ is Lord, and everyone must bow and submit to him as the only way, truth, and life by which people may be saved. It's a shocking message, and we can't, as Christians, fear in giving it. There is no salvation. There is no other name given by which men can be saved. None. No other world leader, no other religion, no other prophet. Only Jesus Christ, who we confess is the Son of God, meaning that he is true God and true man. He became one of us, the eternal Son of God who always was. He became one of us and saves us from our sins, the only way. Now, that claim has received from the world total rejection. And the world tries to blot out the name of Jesus Christ. Remember yesterday, I quoted Diocletian, who said, Diocletian, Jovian, Maximum, Hercules, for having everywhere abolished the superstition of Christ, for having extended the worship of the gods. We got rid of him. He's done. From heaven's viewpoint, they are casting off all the cords and setting themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, here's what is amazing. The psalm doesn't turn to our response to this. Who answers this, dear listener? God the Father. And God the Father, in verse 4, here's what we read. He who is in the heavens shall laugh. Now, of all the things the scriptures could have recorded, God is laughing at all of this madness. To think that man could come up against him? Do they think they can come over me, these little pots of clay? Now I left you with this thought. Isn't that the most comforting thing you've ever read? All of these things that are happening on the world scene right now that cause me so much fear, economic distress, all the things that cause fear, here are all the nations of the world represented as collectively rebelling against the Lord. And what did he just do? Laughed. No matter what is happening in this sad world, no matter what we see, if the whole world crumbles, he is still on his throne, unshaken. Remember, John said in the book of Revelation, he saw the vision and he looked up in heaven and he said, I saw a throne fixed in heaven. The sea was as glass. Heaven is not shaken up by all this turmoil and all this chaos that's happening down here. Now, don't you think that should give us perspective if we are Christians today? I see so many Christians given to fear of what's going to happen with the next president and what's going to happen with the economy and all of the wickedness and all of the dangers and all of the uncertainty and all the political sleaze. Yes, it's all there. But I respond by saying, if it's all aimed at us, we should fear, because then we have to handle it. But this psalm is telling us that all of this madness, all of this rage, is against the Lord and against his anointed. And you see, this psalm is really one of the most comforting psalms in the Psalter, because its aim is to say, when you trust in the Lord, dear listener, you have absolutely nothing to fear. When you believe in his anointed, Jesus Christ, all fear is taken away. Perfect love casts out fear. God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even if the whole world falls apart. What perspective. I love what Martin Luther used to say about this psalm. Let us console ourselves together with this psalm, for it's not just ourselves the world is so bitterly against, but God himself. So instead of being afraid, we should be laughing at this crazy effort of the world to think that it can fight against God. No one will deprive Christ of his throne, for God the Father has placed him there forever. Now here's where this psalm overwhelms us. God answers in his wrath, but what does he do? What is God's answer to this world? He says, I'm going to hold them in derision. How is he going to do that? He says something, dear listener, absolutely amazing in verse 6. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to answer these nations that are in so much turmoil and chaos and godlessness and noisy tumults and restless. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set up my king. Oh, kings of the earth, let me introduce you to my king. Meet my king. It's very powerful. And then in verse 7, this king speaks. I will tell of the decree. I will proclaim the decree. The Lord said to me, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. The Lord just said, here is my response. I'm installing my king on the throne. And then the king responds, the son. He says, I'm going to talk about that decree. I'm going to declare that decree. My father said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. You know, this is an amazing account, isn't it? If there were a context originally when David penned this psalm, there would have been one event as a young boy, probably the battle against the Philistines that must have come to his mind, and their mighty champion Goliath coming out. And remember, David came out with no armor, just a couple stones. And remember what Goliath said? When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now think of Psalm 2, dear listener. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. David took out a couple stones, put it in a slingshot, flung it, and it struck the Philistine in the forehead, sinking deep into his forehead. And here David was in total frailty, and he struck down and took off that mighty man's head. And you know what God did for David? God gave him the throne. Dear listener, here's the context of this psalm. You ready for it? When Christ came, what happened? The Father continually said of his Son, this is my beloved Son. Twice in his ministry, the Father said, this is my beloved Son. Now, what does Romans 1 tell us about the Son of God? He was declared through the resurrection to be the Son of God with power. It's in the resurrection that we see how powerful the Son of God is. And this psalm is describing the glorious coronation, the glorification, the ascension, the session of the Son of God on the throne. What did it all point to? Remember Peter in Acts? Remember what Peter did? He looked at Psalm 2 in the early preaching in Acts, and he based his whole sermon on it. And what did he say? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. You know what happened next? It says, a great multitude believed, and because of the power of the resurrection, great grace was given to them. Interesting that Peter in Acts would quote Psalm 2. Jesus Christ is reigning over all. You see, God sent his son, dear listener. Just when it seemed like he had lost the battle, all the rulers were plotting against him, against the Lord and against his anointed. He was put to death. And you know what happened in heaven? God laughed. He determined that the foolishness of men would be brought to nothing. And you know what he did? He raised him on the third day. And Acts 4 is telling us that the Son asked the Father that the nations would be his heritage. Did you catch that in Psalm 2 about the glorious thing the Son asked? Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. The Son asked that. And you know what? It's happened. There's your context. God raised his Son. And you know what? He seated him far above all principalities and powers. The Son of God today is reigning on his holy hill of Zion. Now, here's where it all goes today. Here's the application today. We don't realize how deadly this is for humanity. There's going to be a great showdown. There is coming a final day of reckoning. Fireworks will go off. What does the scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? The Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Watch out, O nations of the world. Jesus is coming. But, and I love this, here's the gospel. Here's the glorious news, the good news, the grace of God. The psalm ends on a surprising note, doesn't it? A really surprising note, a shocking note. After the worst warning, the Lord said, I will speak to them in my wrath. I will terrify them. I will shatter them with a rod of iron. We get one last surprising voice in the psalm. Many have said it's the psalmist, but I can't help but thinking that what we have here is the voice of the Holy Spirit. After all this language of threat, here a voice bears witness of the Son and calls people to him. Listen to verse 10. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Amazing verse. Did you hear what was just announced? Dear listener, there's a way to escape the wrath to come. Maybe you've done a lot of awful things in your life. I'm sure you have. Maybe your sins have been great. You've messed up everything you know that was good. You know what the Lord just said to you? Stop fighting against him. Stop rebelling against the Lord and against his anointed. There's only one true king whom you must bow to and confess. And the Son today, the scriptures say, kiss the Son. You know what that means? Submit your life to him. Stop fighting. Somebody out there listening right now is listening carefully, and you have been fighting against the Lord a long time. You've been fighting against the Lord and against his anointed. You've not taken the claim seriously. And the Lord says to you today, why do you fight? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I've got something wonderful for you. Come to me. The day of wrath is coming, but you're still living and moving and breathing. The opportunity is before you. Come. What a shocking end to this psalm, isn't it? This king is merciful. This king is no tyrant. Come to him in the day of mercy. But there's a warning. Watch out, O wicked earth. A day of reckoning is coming upon you. Our lives, you see, are restless apart from the Lord, but in him there is peace. And isn't it overwhelming in the beginning of this psalm? Psalm 1 presented to you the blessed man, and now it ends by saying, you are blessed if you come to him. It's a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of the living God, but it's the greatest blessing of God to be found in him. For who overcomes the world? This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, John says. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Dear listener, do you believe that? I present him today in all of his glory. Meet Jesus Christ. He is the only way, truth, and life. And all who believe upon him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program. We humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and if you have enjoyed Abounding Grace Radio, we do extend to you a warm invite to join us for worship on the Lord's Days. 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. are our worship service times on Sundays. You can visit us at escondidourc.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe.